Please join me now in praying for our message this morning. Salamat po muli, Panginoon, sa pagkakataong ito na binigay niyo sa amin upang makinig, Lord God, ng inyong mensahe. I come before you, Lord God, acknowledging that my weakness will not just get me through this, Lord. I acknowledge, Lord God, that you are the source of strength and the source of wisdom. And I pray, Lord God, that you will just accomplish your purpose, your purposes, Lord God, this morning as I share your word to your people. Salamat po, Panginoon. Guide me now, Lord God. Be the teacher today. Guide every heart that is here. Allow each heart to be open, Lord God, attentive to your word, to listen, Lord God, to what you want to say, and allow us, Lord God, also to obey whatever it is that you want us to fulfill today. Salamat po, Panginoon. We just give you glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Ayan po, good morning po muli. A few months ago, I shared this message to the Siga in one of our fellowships, and I thought that it would be wise to share the same message to you this morning. The topic, which is the coming day of the Lord, was requested then by the men because it was in line with the church theme of, eto po siya, fixing our hope on Christ's return. So, why do I need to share this message to you? Kasi po, over 2,000 years ago, the prophets were already speaking about the coming day of the Lord. Ayan. And we, in this age, are closer to that dreadful day than any of the prophets ever were. Yun. Therefore, sabi ko, a discussion on this would be a suitable reminder for all of us here on how to live in a way that prepares us for that coming day. So, that is my chief reason, but I have another more self-centered reason, and that is because I already preached last Sunday, and this is where I will have to ask for forgiveness because I am not as gifted as any of our pastors or even our alternate preachers, and I require more time to prepare for one Sunday message. And for me, 1 week is not sufficient time for me to prepare for one Sunday message. And so I had to replay a message that I already shared. Anyway, when I shared this message to the men, there were only a handful of them. I think there were only about 12 of them. And most of them, if not all, were asleep. And so, okay lang po, di ba? And so if any of them are here, no, I'm sure they would also say, no, this is the first time he shares this message, so mukhang okay lang. Oh, but Brother Chris, you were there. Oh, in fairness to you, you're the only one awake. Kaya, okay lang. So, this now brings me to a burden which I would like to share with you today. Preparing for a preaching is real hard work. I can understand if our regular preachers like Pastor Robbie, Pastor Enz, or Pastor Jason, they can come up with a preaching every Sunday, Sunday after Sunday. But for an alternate preacher like me, I even consider myself an alternate to the alternate preacher. There's such a great struggle involved. Believe me, it's easy to just sit through a preaching. Napakadali. Baka yung mga iba sa inyo sabihin, hindi, mahirap kaya. Hirap kaya labanan ng antok pag nagpipreach ka. That's not what I meant. Piloso pa naman kayo pagka yun ang iniisip nyo. What I mean is, it's much easier to listen to a preaching than to deliver a preaching. It may be a 1.5-hour message from Pastor Robbie, or half hour message from Brother Joey, no, but the hours of study and struggle behind that preaching is where the difficulty lies. Ayan po, no? We're no longer dealing with stage fright here. Di na po kami natatakot sa audience. Makakapal na po ang muka ng mga preachers na tumatayo dito po sa pulpitong ito. No? The audience does not scare a preacher. What scares him is the thought of dishonoring God's name by teaching something which God never intended him to teach. Ayan, or worse, teaching something contradictory to God's word, thereby misleading the flock or causing them to fall into sin or error. That is what scares me. No? James 3, verse 1, if you have your Bibles with you, says, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment." So that is what scares me. And I believe that is what scares many other preachers. And so it reminded me to share the burden of praying for our preachers. Ayan. Not only do they have to struggle in preparing for the preaching, but they also have to struggle to live their lives in accordance to what they preach, lest they be disqualified. Ayan. Remembering them in prayer gives them the strength and the wisdom to preach on any Sunday. And so praying for them also helps ensure that God's purposes for their preachings are fulfilled. So please remember them every time they preach. So now if you have your Bibles with you, I'd like to invite you to please open them to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, and we'll be reading from verses 3 to 9. 2 Peter 3, verse 3 to 9. "Know this, first of all, that in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation.' For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." Ayan po. So, as our standard practice, allow me to just give you a brief background of this passage. No? Peter wrote this second letter primarily to awaken and to arouse his readers and to establish them in the truth. So he knew that his death was approaching, and he wanted his death to cause them to recall all these things. So in this second letter, Peter writes to protect God's people from false teachers. And he sets himself apart from such teachers by proclaiming the doctrines of grace, so that God's people might confirm their calling and election and persevere to the end. Yan po. The purpose of this letter is found in 2 Peter 3, verse 1. If you have your Bibles, again, please turn to 2 Peter 3, verse 1. And I read, "This is now, beloved, the second letter I am writing to you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles." So Peter challenges Jesus' followers to continue growing in their faith, love, and service to God, and be ready for Jesus' return. Yan. So wala po tayong PowerPoint presentation, but I'd like to give you an outline of my message this morning, which I have entitled "The Certainty of Christ's Return." Not "The Certainty of Christ's Return." I only have 5 points to my message today. First is a warning. A warning. We will be mocked by false teachers. And that's what it says from verses 3 to 4. The second portion of my outline will be God's greatness revealed, which can be seen from verses 5 to 6. And then the third point will be Christ's return is certain, as we can see and read from verse 7. And then the fourth will be the reason for the delay. God's abundant mercy unfolds, and we see that from verses 8 to 9. And then finally, we'll have our conclusion, which is how to respond to God's abundant mercy. So now we start with the first portion, which is a warning, where Peter, by the way, says we will be mocked by false teachers. Ayan. We all know that the world is filled with counterfeits. The church has always been plagued by false teachers. And Peter says, the times will get worse. During his time, Peter already encountered false prophets, but more so now. Now, nakikita na po natin. There will be fake teachers who will deny Christ's return and deny the coming judgment. As Peter wrote this epistle, he wanted this letter to just help believers overcome false teachers and their false doctrines. And so we must, ano ba dapat natin gawin? Immerse ourselves in the truth so that we can figure out ourselves if the teachers or their messages or their churches are false. We must always be on the alert so that we will not be fooled by their sweet talk lang naman, that would ultimately lead us away from the truth. So by staying on the alert, I also mean intently listening to what every preacher standing in the pulpit says. Listen to the preaching and validating it through your own study of Scripture. So what we want to avoid is the blind acceptance of biblical interpretations. We do not want to be ignorant of gospel truths. So, meron po kasing tatlong types of ignorance, tatlong klaseng tao na ignorante na tinatawag natin, di ba? Una, those who have no opportunity or ability to learn, probably because of a learning disability, siguro they could be mentally challenged, or they simply lack the resources or access to biblical truth. Meron tayong mga ibang lugar sa mundo. Talagang walang Bibles. So, limited lang talaga ang kanilang pwedeng malaman tungkol sa Biblia, di ba? Wala namang missionary na pumupunta doon. So we can understand those people who live in those parts of the world. But there are those people who choose to be ignorant. Ayan. They are willingly ignorant of the truth. They know that the truth may be out there, but they just don't want to believe it. Oh, they just don't want to know it. They are not interested in the truth. Or for some reason, they just choose to believe the lie. Yun ang mga nakakalungkot. No? But then the worst kind are the false teachers. Yun. They avoid the truth at all cost, and they go to the extent of ridiculing the truth to draw people away from the truth, to protect their own interests, and then entice the people to follow them or follow their own beliefs to make it appear that the more followers you have, the more legitimate you seem. Parang ganun. Diba? So, question, why do they mock the return of Christ? Ba't kailangan nilang atakihin yun? Yung doktrina na si Kristo ay babalik. Diba? Kasi, Christians have been waiting patiently for Christ's return. And yet, Jesus has not yet returned. Kailan ba? Kasi when Jesus suffered on the cross, died, and ascended into heaven, Christian persecution became strong. Ayan, life became difficult, and many Christians became discouraged, disappointed. Now, what kept them going was their faith in God and their faith that Christ would return to gather his people to take them out of their suffering. But then the false teacher, eto na siya, he comes along and capitalizes on the discouragement and the disappointment, and then dinadagdagan pa niya ng mockery. He has to add that. Dadating ba talaga yan? So yan ang kanyang binubulong. Is he really coming? The reason they deny the judgment of Christ is because, ayan naman, they love their sin and they want to continue in it. They cannot let go of their immorality because Christ's return will have a devastating effect on their lives. Christ's return means judgment to all unbelievers, including these false teachers. No, especially these false teachers. They don't want any judgment to come. They are afraid to give an account of what they have done here on earth. They don't want that accountability. And so, if they love their ill-gotten wealth, if they cannot let go of their adulterous relationships, they are involved in some sin which they cannot turn their backs on, ayan, they know that judgment will fall hard on them. And so, they do not want to believe that Jesus Christ will return. So, how do they argue with the believers? Turn to verse 4, and it reads there, where is the promise of his coming? Ayan. They were ridiculing the prophets, and they were even ridiculing Christ's own words. No? They said, etong sinabi nila, di ba? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. So that was their argument. Ever since, it has always been peaceful. Life goes on perfectly. There has been no large-scale catastrophe, no divine judgment event, and the world continues in peace. Yun ang sinasabi nila. There has never been some great event in history, and there never will be. Walang dadating na ganyan. Parang may kaibigan kang nagsabi na, uy, pasok na natin ito sa loob, itong mga gamit na ito, kasi baka mawala yan. And then you say to him, hindi na kailangan, walang mawawala dyan. Kasi tagalan namin ginagawa yan. Iniiwan lang namin ang gamit dito sa labas, wala namang kumukuha. So that was their argument, parang ganun. Walang nawawala. That was their experience. And that was their argument. The world moves in a constant, unchanging process. Therefore, a large-scale catastrophic event on Earth will never happen. Everything just goes on all along, all the time. Ganun lang. But then, God's greatness is revealed in verses 5 to 6. Ayan. The world is a stable and fixed system. Alam natin ito, di ba? The sun rises from the east, sets in the west. The world is so huge, nothing can ever destroy it. Nothing catastrophic ever has happened. So nothing catastrophic will ever happen. Yan ang sinasabi ng mga false teachers. But then Paul demolishes their argument in verses 5 to 6. He refuted the pronouncements of the mockers by citing two events in history. He said, there have been two divine cataclysmic events in history. The first that they did not realize is that the heavens existed and the earth was formed. So go back to the book of Genesis and it says, in the beginning, God created the earth. The earth was formless and void. Yun ang sinabi sa book of Genesis, di ba? But here in verse 5, it says, the earth was formed out of water and by water. Is that not a great cataclysmic event? How can you form the earth using only water? Kumbaga, here's water. I don't know how you can keep it suspended there, but unless you are God. And then using that water, boom, the earth was formed. Only God can do that, diba? The heavens and the earth existed by the word of God. Kumbaga, God spoke them into existence. That's what Peter was trying to say. Second, the mockers also did not realize that the earth was previously destroyed by a great flood. Ayan. It says in verse 6, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. Ayan, nakalimutan niyo ba ang account ng great flood nung nandun pa si Noah? That's what he was saying. No? All life on earth was destroyed except for those who were safe at the ark. Now, the flood in Noah's day was a great event involving divine judgment, and the mockers shut their eyes to the fact that God promised through Noah that he will bring judgment on the earth by a flood, and no one believed Noah. Now that the prophets, now that Jesus Christ himself said that he will return in judgment, they still refused to believe the promises. Ayan. So now, turn to verse 7 where we see that Christ's return is certain. In verse 7, Peter affirms that the day of judgment and destruction will come. And he even mentions how it will happen. Ayan. By fire. Ayan. In 2 Peter 1:16, Peter again affirms the certainty of Christ's coming. It was a truth that was mocked, scoffed at by the false teachers. And the truth is, Christ is coming whether you believe it or not. Wala akong pake. Kung hindi ka naniniwala na dadating si Kristo, basta dadating si Kristo, magugulat na lang kayo. Yun ang sinasabi ni Peter. Despite their teaching that Christ will not return, Christians must believe that it will truly happen. It will. He says the certainty of the coming of Christ can be argued from Scripture. I tried to Google how many verses are there that relate to Christ's return, and I lost count. Napakadami po pala. No? There was one result that returned 100 Bible verses about the second coming of Jesus. And so it would be impossible for me now to just discuss all of these verses to you this morning. Hayaan nyo na lang nasabihin ko sa inyo na talagang i-research nyo, because it is the truth. Christ will return as it is stated in Scripture. But in Malachi 4, verse 1 to 2, it says there, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evil doer will be chaff, and the day that is coming will set them ablaze." Oh, so there, that gives you an idea of how the Lord will return. That says the Lord of hosts, "so that it will leave them neither root nor branch." Wala pong matitira. Parang kung nagbabarbecue ka, tapos yung matitigas na uling, aliliit na lang, tapos dust na lang. That's called chaff. That is what will happen to them. That is what will remain with them. Matthew 24, verse 42. "Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming." Now, here, Peter stresses an important aspect of Christ's return. God's word is true. We have doctrines that point to the return of Christ. We have prophecies. The prophets taught us, and so did our Lord Jesus. The truth of the prophetic books, the teachings of the Lord in the gospel, and the writing of the apostles, all of this, God warned that judgment was coming. Many of the prophets announced the day of the Lord and warned that the world would be judged. Dami nila. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Joel, Amos, Zephaniah, Zechariah, just to name a few. The period of judgment is also known as the tribulation. Now we can trust the word of God. Remember not only the words spoken beforehand by the prophets, but also remember the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by the apostles. So no matter what the scoffers may claim, God's day of judgment will come. And Jesus Christ shall return to establish his glorious kingdom. The certainty of Christ's coming can also be argued from history and from the character of God as the one who keeps his promises and covenant with his people. God is true to his word. Alam natin yan. Christ's second coming is so frightening. It is a terrible day of judgment, but we will be delivered out before the day of the Lord ever hits. We believe the church will be raptured. This is what we believe in here in Guiding Light. We will be caught up together with the Lord before the day of the Lord. No, the church is taken up prior to the 7 years tribulation period. The judgment will bring about the destruction of the heavens by burning. So look at 2 Peter 3, verse 12, and it says, "The elements are going to melt with intense heat, and after that we will look for a new heaven and a new earth in which only righteousness exists." And so now we come to the reason for the delay. And we see that in verses 8 to 9, where God's abundant mercy unfolds. In verses 8 to 9, Paul now gives the reason why it seems that the Lord is delaying his return. Let's read verses 8 to 9 again. "But do not let this one fact escape you. your notice, beloved, that with the day, with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And the mockers were saying, will He really come back? No? Why the delay? If Christ was really coming, why has He not yet returned? You've been saying that for a long time. And still, Christ has not returned. Now, many years ago, the prophets and the apostles already told us that Christ was coming anytime soon. The judge is at the door. Nabasa po natin yan, di ba? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what they were telling us. And now, 2,000 years later, this is what Christians still declare. The Lord is coming, and the Lord is coming soon. Why does there seem to be a delay in His return? Why has He not yet returned? Ayon. First, we cannot really say that God is delayed. Hindi po. No? He is the God of time. He handles time. He is not limited by time. Psalm 90, verse 4, just repeats what we just read. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. He can do anything with time. He can go forward in time. He can go back in time. Nothing is impossible with God. What seems like a long time to mockers is just a short time to God. Because one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. But God does not live in the yung tinatawag nating realm of human time. No? What is slow to us is not slow to God. He has existed from all eternity past. Therefore, for Him, there is no beginning, there is no end. He is, in fact, the beginning and the end. That's why we call Him the Alpha and the Omega. For us, it seems like a delay, but for God, it is not a delay. He knows the exact day and the exact time of Christ's return. In fact, He alone knows. No? We just look at it as a delay because we just long for Him to return, to put us all out of our misery. Kasi hirap na tayo. Diba? We want to get out of this world full of wickedness. Let us just thank God for the seeming delay. Just think about what would happen if Christ returned just a few months after the prophets prophesied that Christ would return. Or what if He returned just 1 year after Christ ascended into heaven? Eh, syempre, we would not experience salvation, di ba? We would not be born, we would not hear the gospel, and we would not be saved. So the reason why it seems so slow, it says there in verse 9. Verse 9, it says, the Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Ayan, the Lord is patient, not wishing anyone to perish because His mercy is abundant. Ayan, and He is giving more time for people to be saved. His seeming delay only gives more opportunity for lost sinners to repent and come to Him. Christ will not come back until all of His elect are saved. God has delayed it because He wants to bring to repentance all whom He has determined in advance to gather as His children. Because He does not want any of His elect to perish, all of His chosen ones will have the time to come to faith in Christ. Ayan. So, in conclusion, how to respond to God's abundant mercy. Ayan, how should this impact our lives? How does this affect our daily walk? Our lives should be transformed by the truth of His coming. How? One, we should live pure lives. We should be set apart for the Lord and live as though He will return anytime soon, because He can. He can. Two, we must continue to wait patiently for Christ's return. Knowing that the Lord is on His way should give us the staying power to persevere in ministry. And then third, and this is a final item, we must be on fire for evangelism. Ayan. The truth of the second coming of Christ becomes our fuel for the fire of evangelism. This should have a dramatic effect on our lives. It should drive us to share the gospel even more. No, God is keeping that door of salvation open until every last one of His elect come to faith in Christ. So God might be saying to you, I'm giving you just enough time to approach your colleague in the workplace or your next door neighbor to share the gospel to him, because he is one of my elect. I'm holding back the return of my son until you carry out the task that I have set for you. But does that mean that his salvation depends on us? No, of course not. What if I was too shy to approach him, to share the gospel to him, di ba? Or too lazy to share the gospel to my neighbor? It doesn't matter. God can still send someone else to share the gospel to him, because he is elect. No, it does not depend on you. But then you just robbed yourself of the joy of bringing him to Christ. So kayo ang matalo. So you forfeit the blessings that come with bringing a soul to God's kingdom. All of the elect will be saved. Knowing this, our lives ought to be changed. God is giving more time for sinners to be saved and giving us more time to be used in bringing souls to Christ. So may we all remember this and take advantage of the principles listed in this letter of Peter. Please join me now in prayer. Salamat po, Panginoon. We know, Lord God, that You are the source of truth. You're the source of all truth. And when Your word says You will return, this will happen, Lord God, whether we choose to believe it or not. You will return, Lord God, and You will return with fire. And we thank You, Lord God, that we have been spared from this dreadful death, Lord God. Instead, we will be with You, Lord God, as long as we have You, Lord God. As long as we have accepted You, Lord God, accepted the death of Christ on the cross as payment for our sin. As long as we have accepted Christ in our hearts as our Savior and Lord. As long as we have repented, turned away from our sin, and have turned to You in faith as our Savior and Lord. We know, Lord God, if we believe this, we will be with You, Lord God, and not be left behind to suffer the wrath or the burning of the earth and all the elements. And so, Lord, we come before You and we pray that this truth of Your coming will just change us, Lord God, to burden us to live pure lives, to burden us to be more patient waiting for Your return, to burden us to just share the gospel to the lost. Hayaan niyo po, Panginoon, na ito ang maging pasanin namin, pasanin ng bawat isang nandito, Panginoon, o bawat isang na nakikinig sa aming virtual service. I pray, Lord God, that You will just move in our hearts. Salamat po, Panginoon. We thank You for this message, and we thank You, Lord God, that indeed You are the source of truth, Lord. Salamat po sa lahat ng inyong tinuro ngayon. We pray, Lord God, that this will indeed have an effect in our lives, so that we will just change according to Your word. and according to your promises. We just give you glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.